blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 67, stanzas 1 through 5. Lord, to me thy ways make known, guide in truth and teach thou me. Thou, my Savior, art alone. All the day I wait for thee. 1 through 5 of Psalter 67. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Acts of the Apostles, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 19 through the end. Acts 10, verses 19 through 48. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 10, verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are all we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we may read in thy word in this afternoon hour that thou in thy mercy, in thy long suffering, in thy goodness and in thy grace did give, and that thy spirit may be spread over the entire world, so that not only unto the Jewish nation, but also unto the Gentiles was given the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it is for this reason that we also may gather with our children, and that we may be a part also of that church of God in an external way. But Lord, that we also may receive this gift, for we are not of the nation of the Jews, but upon the Gentiles was also poured out this gift. And thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then it was evident in their midst. And when thou didst give thy servant the words to speak, and when thou didst give the conviction in the heart of the hearers, and then there were those who were brought into thy kingdom, not only in an external way, but that they were brought in by thee thyself. And that is now what we stand in need of with our children. And when we also are baptized, and when we also in an outward way are brought into the external communion, oh, then we cannot miss the substance of this. Lord, that thou may look then upon us in mercy in this afternoon hour, and give thy Spirit also in the days in which we live with our children, and wilt thou show thyself yet to be alive, and to be the ruler over all the land, and that thou still art working with thy Spirit to go from place to place, that that which our fathers may have received from thee may also be bestowed upon their children and grandchildren, and that we also may be partakers of that grace that will bring us into that blessed communion with the true and the living God. Oh, that we may miss this in our hearts in this afternoon, and that we may miss thee as him whom we have left in our deep fall, that it may become our burden that we are without God and without hope in this world, that our hearts may be given to sorrow because of our sin, that it may be laid upon us that we may not be able to continue in that same way that we have been born, but that thou mayst stop us, O Lord, to stop us upon our mad career as we travel carelessly to our own destruction with no concern for that thing that is most needful, and many concerns for this life and how we shall get through it. Then we are so evidently by nature under the dominion of our father, who is the devil, so evidently blinded by him, that we do not see what our state and our condition is, that he has the intention to lead us to that place where he is, and that we would spend a never-ending eternity with him and his angels. Lord, that we may be given warning from thee, not only from the mouth of a man, but may it be also by thee thyself, that thy Spirit may bring it in our hearts, and that we may be warned indeed, and that we may not be suffered to continue on in our ignorance and in our carelessness, in our rebellion against the true and the living God. Oh, forgive what is sinful that is lying within the heart and in the life of each and every one of us, that thou may keep us also from outward sin, that thou may keep us from bringing a blot upon thy holy name, that name which we profess in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation, that it may be seen also without, that it is a people who love one another, that it may be seen without, that it is a people who cannot go along with the vanities of this world, that it is a people who are strangers here below, and that are but traveling here, and who have no continuing city upon this world, and that are seeking a treasure, a city that has foundations, that our life may be a testimony also to draw others that are about us. Lord, so look upon us with our children. Look on them also in the days of their youth, when Satan has so many devices to draw their young hearts, that thou may keep and watch over and protect them. And wilt thou supply for them in school each day, or wherever they are instructed, Lord, that thou may supply that they may be kept from all evil and sin, and that thou may give what is necessary to teachers and principals in our school, and that thou may bless the labors that are put forth in that place. Look also upon our young people who will begin university or college study in the week to come. And thou knowest also the powers of the prince of darkness that are so busy in those places, so that as parents that we tremble when we send our children to these places in this world. But Lord, that thou may thyself then keep them. Oh, that thou may give the foundation to be laid in their hearts, and that they may be kept from that which is so desirable to their flesh, and that they may be kept from the deceit of the natural heart, which is always cleaving to that which is rebelling against God. Oh, then so many devices also will be used to ensnare them. Oh, that thou may watch over and protect each and every one of them, also those who are in the workforce day by day. Lord, keep watch over and protect them also in all that they must do, and in all that they are called to stand up against in their life. That thou may give them faithfulness, wisdom, and diligence to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Strengthen us as parents in our duties, that we may be faithful, we may be watchful, that we may be careful, and that we may not lead as instruments of Satan himself our children astray, but that we may receive from thee what is necessary day by day, and that thou may bless also our instruction and warnings for our children. Look upon those who have no parents, those who have no children, those who are not married and miss those relations. Wilt thou supply in all their needs? And wilt thou look on all that are mourning for losses of loved ones, widows, widowers, and orphans? And Lord, may thou go also before all those that rule and reign over us. Grant us once again a turning to thy word and to thy testimonies, and give that our rulers may be granted the fear of thy name in truth, and those that are upon the battlefields, those that are on the mission fields, thy truly sent servants over the length and the breadth of the whole world. Bless their labors to the bringing in and upbuilding of thy kingdom, and that thou may keep also from the ways of the religion of our days, that thou may keep from the turning of thy word upside down, and that thou may give that which is reality in our life, the misery of man that is upon him may be acknowledged, that the might of the Savior may be preached, and that the glory of God in the acknowledgement of thy people may be to the honor of thy name forever and forever. Look then upon us in thy mercy. Remember also our brother elder who serves the other part of our congregation. Help him too, and those that labor there from day to day. And wilt thou be with us then in this afternoon hour? Give us ears to hear. Give us a little a separation from all that is in this world, that for a moment we may be given to meditate upon thee and thy ordinances and thy institutions, and that we may be instructed by thee. Forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 322. Stanzas 1 through 4, how shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Thy word, O Lord, will safely lead, if in its wisdom they confide. The last collection today is for our school, Psalter 322, all stanzas. Congregation, leprosy is an awful disease. Who can know it? The awfulness of it? Seriousness of it? Except for those unto whom that message has come. Then it is so different when it has come to my neighbor than when it has come unto me. Because of its incurableness, that is a much dreaded disease, so that the news, the message of this disease, that is as the message of death. And although that is not in our circles, in our country, we know what that is in a little way with the awful disease of cancer. That when that word is heard, then our heart that is fearing so very, very greatly. And then there is nothing that man does stop at in order that he may receive a cure from this disease. Sometimes then the doctors will say, it is gone. I see no more signs. The medications, the devices, they have all been profitable. You may go home. And yet, in our mind, there is always lingering the thought, the possibility, that the doctor is wrong. How many times have we not heard it? In the life of this one or that one, a clean bill of health, and not long afterwards, then we find out that indeed it was not true. In the Bible, then we read of sin being symbolized by that awful disease of leprosy. And who is able to know the awfulness of this disease but those unto whom that message has come? You say that comes to each and every one of us. That is true. But when that message is coming home to us in a personal way, then it is becoming so different. Because then it is a message actually that means to us death. That is a message of our eternal condemnation if it will remain with us the same as we are in this moment. And then for such a people, there is nothing that they will stop at, that they might be delivered from this awful disease of sin. And then it is not a light matter when a person will be told that this sin has been forgiven, that your sin that is washed away, that you are clean. No, then there is something still lingering in the heart of that people. Is it really true? Thus you can understand, congregation, in the life of God's children, when this is a matter of life and of death, That it is not just something that a person is able to receive but from the mouth of another, a member of the congregation, not from the mouth of an office bearer, not from the mouth of a minister, but they so need to know this from the mouth of the Lord Himself. Oh, how necessary for the comfort of His church that the Lord is giving in their own life, in their own heart, the confirmation that all their sin is forgiven and that they are able to stand before a holy and a righteous God. Oh, but do we even know then the first beginnings? Has that message ever come home to us in a personal way? And that we are so filled with this loathsome disease, so that our heart that is searching and looking, that we also may be forgiven, that we may be washed, that we may be cleansed. We wish in this afternoon to consider together Lord's Day 27, only questions 72 and 73. Lord's Day 27, questions 72 and 73. Question 72. Is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Answer, not at all. For the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanses us from all sin. Question 73. Why then doth the Holy Ghost call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? Answer, God speaks thus not without great cause. To wit, not only thereby to teach us that as the filth of the body is purged away by water, so our sins are removed by the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ, but especially that by this divine pledge and sign, He may assure us that we are spiritually cleansed from our sins as really as we are externally washed with water. So far, our Lord's Day. The meaning of the washing of holy baptism. First, negatively, or what it does not mean, as we read in question and answer 72, is then the external baptism with water, the washing away of sin itself, not at all. Second, positively, or what it does mean, as we read in question 73, why then doth the Holy Ghost call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? Thus, the meaning of the washing of holy baptism, first negatively, what it does not mean, and second positively, what it does mean. The doctrine of God's Word that is once again under attack. As we have heard before that our fathers, they are defending the truth against all of Satan's attacks, so we read again in this afternoon. A very important work of the church, not only to bring and to teach the truth, but also to defend that truth against the errors that will come against it. And last time, we heard that baptism signifies washing. And when we read the form for holy baptism, then it is also very clear that our fathers point out this great meaning of baptism, washing. But that is, of course, the object of the special attack of Satan, because Satan He would have just the opposite. He has brought man as an instrument into a great corruption, and he will have us young people to corrupt ourselves, to corrupt our bodies. And then he has so many devices in the days in which we live to lure your hearts, to corrupt your bodies. So we see it in the media that is all around us, and so many devices that you may also corrupt your minds. And so Satan, he is always fighting against this, what the Lord would do unto his children, that is to wash them, that is to cleanse them, that is to make them holy. And Satan is also fighting against the comfort that the Lord will give unto that church in his holy word. And now question 72, that is an arrow. What do we do with an arrow, children? Well, we are not in the warfare, but many years ago, then they used arrows in warfare, and they would fight against the enemy, those that would try to destroy them. And now those that would try to destroy the truth. Our fathers came not only with a shield, but also with their arrows directly to try to kill, as it were, that error. And now this is an arrow that our fathers are shooting in this question. And they are shooting this arrow against an error of the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church that has many errors, but we have not only to look at them, because the errors of that Roman Catholic Church are also errors that are originating in persons. That is what that church is made up of, people. And that is where those ideas are coming forth from. And those people, they have no different hearts than you and I do. And therefore, those same errors that are in that church, they are also lying within our hearts. They are errors of our carnality. They are errors of our sensuality. Is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Thus Rome teaches, it contends, and that baptism is the washing away of sin itself. They say that baptism actually has power in itself. It has power in itself to regenerate a soul. Thus they ascribe power. Power not merely to God, but power especially to this outward sign that is without any act of faith in the person to whom it is administered. And now, young people, when you will think back for a moment to what we have brought in the past weeks, then we hope that you will see why that this is impossible. Why is that impossible? Because the forgiveness of sins, that is what kind of a blessing? That is not a temporal blessing. That is not like food and drink that you eat with your mouth. That is not like a sound that you hear, not a sight that you see. No, what kind of a blessing is it? It is, you say, a spiritual blessing. And how is a spiritual blessing received by a person? A spiritual blessing is received by faith. That is that hand, that spiritual organ that the Lord is giving to his church, that they may receive blessings which are not natural, but that they may receive blessings which are spiritual. And thus, the Roman Catholic Church that is saying that this act of baptism itself is granting regeneration, then it is not necessary that faith be there to receive that blessing, but that spiritual blessing is being received by man in a natural way. And then all sin, so they say, is washed away, all sin that has been committed before that point wherein a person is being baptized, all sin is being washed away by this baptism. And that is why that in the Roman Catholic Church, this rite of baptism is considered to be so important. As a matter of fact, that is considered as being necessary. Necessary why? Necessary actually for the salvation of a person. That when a person is not baptized, that a person also is not able to be saved. An unbaptized child, he will go, so they say, not actually into a full hell, but into some kind of a porch of hell. Thus, in the Roman Catholic Church, baptism is overestimated. The power of baptism is overestimated. Why must we baptize? We must not baptize because baptism is necessary in order that we may be regenerated. No, it is possible that we are regenerated without baptism. Therefore, this is not the reason that we baptize. What is the reason that we baptize? We baptize because baptism is a command of the Lord. That is simply why we baptize. When the Lord says that He will have His name to be placed upon us, that we will walk with this sign of His name upon us over the world, then it is our duty that we receive this sign, this name upon ourselves in this world. And what a rebellion that is against God, when we will refuse to have His name to be, as it were, written upon us, and when we will refuse to bow under His commandment. On the other hand, then indeed we have that name written upon us, and we are going over this world without the substance of that name, thus having it only in form, then you understand that that name that is actually testifying against us. And when that name of that triune God is upon us, and we go over this world living in the sight of this whole world just as the heathen, then you understand that that name of that triune God is every moment testifying against us. Thus, there is a tension in that command of holy baptism, that we are to receive that baptism upon His command, that we are not to reject it, and on the other side, that we are that sign when we miss the substance is testifying against us. What does that mean? That is very simple. That means not that we are to refuse that sign that the Lord commands us to receive, but it means that we have no right to go over this world unconverted. And that is now the thing that ought to be the burden of our heart. How is that now possible?
that we are able to live on the way that we have been born. When that name of the triune God that is lying upon us, and then not only the name of our Creator, of our Maker, but also the name of His only begotten Son, who has come to seek and to save that which is lost, who has come to take away the sin of His people, which is symbolized in that a holy baptism. And we can go over this world so careless, congregation. Oh, it is that holy baptism that ought to be burning upon our foreheads day by day, that we ought to be laying upon our knees, that we are not able to continue as we have been baptized in this world, and that we cannot continue without the substance while we have the form. Rome overestimates, we say, holy baptism. That is why that they also allow any person to baptize. That is, they say, in a case of necessity, if it has to be. In other words, if there is a little child, boys and girls, that is about to die, and that child has not yet been baptized, then if we believe that it is necessary for that child to be baptized in order to be saved, then you understand that is then something so very important. Then they say, well, what if there is then no priest? And he cannot baptize, well, then they say, then the father can do it, or the mother can do it, or the nurse can do it, but somebody has to do it, because if somebody does not do it, then that child is going to be forever lost. That is not true. That is not true at all. That child will not necessarily be lost because he has not received this sign. And neither does it belong to a father or to a mother or to a nurse to baptize. No, the Lord has given this sacrament into the hands of those who teach. Thus, there must be an office bearer, and that office bearer, he must baptize also when there is a gathering of the congregation. That is not something that may be done just in a private way. Thus, when that baptism is not done according to the institution of Christ, if it is not done through the offices, if it is not done in the name of the triune God, then that baptism actually means nothing. Is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Not at all, for the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sins. Why then, you say, did we read how the Ananias, he says to Paul here, be baptized and wash away thy sins? Thus it sounds very much like the Roman Catholic Church is correct. Be baptized and wash away thy sins. But that does not mean that sin is washed away by that external rite. No, but that term that is being used in a symbolic sense. And we read that many times in the Word of God. How that God is portraying something by a symbolic name, that He is giving a name to something that it is not in a literal way. Last week, we heard of the blessed meaning of the washing away of sins in baptism. But that is not now applied by this natural rite. And how can we be so sure? Well, that is not so very difficult. Our children know that Simon the sorcerer was also baptized. And when he was baptized, then the apostle did say that he perceived that he was in the gall of bitterness, that he was in the bond of iniquity. If that is true, then his sins were not washed away. Then we know that Judas was also baptized, and the baptism of Judas did not wash away his sins. No, the external washing that belongs to the outward ceremony, but it is a sign and it is a seal that belongs unto God Himself. And that grace is given to the soul alone by the Holy Spirit. What do we read in the Old Testament about the blood of bulls and of goats? We read that they are not able to wash away sins. Peter says, not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And what did John the Baptist say? He says, I indeed baptize you with water, but there comes one after me who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Well, that was in a symbolic way. Thus, what it is not. We see in our second thought positively what it is. Why then doth the Holy Ghost call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? Paul writes to Titus, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The washing of regeneration. Thus, regeneration is called a washing or a bathing. That is the same as baptism, of which it is a sign and a seal. And why is it now called this? Well, it is called this because of the closeness of that sign and the thing that is signified. Thus, the sign itself, the water, the washing with water, is so closely connected, not by man, but by God Himself, so closely connected that the Lord will call that sign by the thing itself that it is signifying. Is that the only place in the Bible that we read such a thing? It is not. What do we read? The psalmist, he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. You know what that means, children? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. You know what a lamp is. And God's word that does not give you natural light like a lamp. No. And yet he says it is this. It is a lamp. Thus he uses this term. He is calling it by another name, by the thing that it is signifying. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, I am the good shepherd. And our children know that the Lord Jesus, he was not as David to take care of the sheep on the fields of Bethlehem. No, but that he is a shepherd in a different way. And therefore our instructors give their answer. God speaks thus not without great cause, to wit, not only thereby to teach us that as the filth of the body is purged away by water, so our sins are removed by the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ, but especially that by this divine pledge and sign he may assure us that we are spiritually cleansed from our sins as really as we are externally washed with water. Thus, that is for the comfort, that is for the assurance of God's church. No, the assurance is not in that outward ceremony, but the assurance is in the Spirit's blessing. That water that is a sign, and that sign that is given unto His church by God Himself. And that sign that is testifying of God's goodwill toward his people on account of that promise, the promise that he has connected unto that sign. And the fact that he is calling that sign by the thing that that sign is signifying is also of very great significance. Why? Because immediately we know the meaning of that sign. Immediately we know what that sign is connected to. Immediately we know of the spiritual blessings that are flowing out of that sign. Thus, actually, it should make it very simple for us. And yet, over the years and still today, there is so a very much controversy over this subject. And then over in a special way, two things. And that is first about the mode of baptism or the way that we baptize, the manner that we baptize. And second of all, who we baptize or the subjects which are baptized. Much controversy. And we do not have time today to consider both of these. Thus, this afternoon, just the first one. And from that time that we have broken away from that Roman Catholic Church, then there has been division also among the churches which call themselves Reformed concerning the Holy Sacraments. We know that Zwingli, he underestimated the signs of the Holy Supper, that Luther did overestimate them with his consubstantiation. And then we have the Baptists, and that they have also differed now on these two points, the mode of baptism and the subjects of baptism. And to this day, the Baptists consider immersion, that is, the complete immersion of a person in water, to be the only proper way that we may receive holy baptism. And why? It is because they make a connection and they say that the most important principle in baptism is that we go down and that we come up out of the water. They say that is now the most important thing connected to baptism. Where do they get this from? They get this from God's word. Paul writes to Romans, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." To the Colossians he writes this, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." Thus, this connection of baptism to the burial of Christ, to the resurrection of Christ, is something which we do not disagree with the Baptists. Paul seems to allude to this manner of baptism, which was often done in those times. Thus, when a person is immersed, then he is remaining under the water, all the way under the water for a moment. And then there is a blessed representation, a representation how that Christ, he has died, that he has remained in death for 3 days, and then how that he has arisen and how that he has come out of it. And then when he has risen from the grave, he has left behind him in that grave all the sin of his church. And then there is a blessed representation of this in the immersion of a person in holy baptism. And this we agree with. And because we agree with this, then this method is also used by us at times when it is appropriate upon our mission fields. However, the Baptists maintain that this is now the main point, the going down and the coming up. And it is for that reason that the Baptists reject every other way, every other method of being baptized that does not have this going down and the coming up out of the water. And now to say that this is the main point, no, that we disagree with. Because we believe that in the Scriptures that we are pointed to the fact that the main point of holy baptism is the idea of purifying. Read in John 3 that there arose a question from some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And then immediately he begins to speak about baptism. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Thus we read a connection, not an indirect connection, but a very direct connection between baptism and washing or cleansing. That is not only in that instance, but many instances. Repent, Peter says, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Thus, a direct connection. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, and like expressions in many other places. Thus, the idea of purification is not just an accident. It is not just something on the side, as it were, secondary, but it is primary. It is essential. And there is no direct connection to this going down and the coming out of the water, which is but one means of that purification, of that cleansing. But there are also many other means of cleansing, and the Scriptures expressly speak also about them. But let us sing first Psalter 41, stanzas 3 through 6. The fear of God is undefiled and ever shall endure. The statutes of the Lord are truth and righteousness most pure. 3 through 6 of Psalter 41.
Congregation, the examples that we have in the scriptures of holy baptism never say to us, never stress, never even show to us what the mode of that baptism was. And why not? Well, we believe because it does not matter which mode of baptism that it is done in, as long as that mode is signifying what is essential to baptism, that is purification. There is another reason that the Baptists, you may have heard, young people, insist upon this immersion. That is because they say of the words that are used to signify baptism, that is bapto or baptizo. And they say that these words always signify to dip. Now, that is true sometimes, but that is certainly not true always. Those same words are used in other places simply for bathing or for washing. I will give you some examples. Mark speaks about the Pharisees. He says, when they come from the market, except they wash, or the word is to baptize themselves, so except they baptize themselves, and they eat not. Well, certainly, then they are not speaking about dipping themselves, but then there was some kind of a ceremonial sprinkling of the Pharisees that they have gone through before that they ate. Mark continues, and many other things there be which they have received to hold as the washing of cups, or that is again the word baptism. So the baptism of cups, pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then we can understand, children, that the cups and the pots and the brazen vessels maybe even were dipped in water, but not the tables. The tables, they were the beds, the couches that they have lain upon, and these were cleansed in some manner, but not by dipping them in the water. Thus, the word bapto or baptizo certainly does not always mean to dip. There are many more examples, but we will give you one more important one. In Acts 11, Peter describes the fulfillment of that promise of Christ about sending the Holy Spirit. And he says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Thus, does not speak about being baptized as a dipping, but he speaks about the Holy Ghost as a falling. The Holy Ghost coming, as it were, as a dew. The Holy Ghost coming, as it were, as a sprinkling. Thus, obvious that that word bapto, baptizo, does not always mean to dip. And if you would take the word to immerse and substitute that always in that place of bapto or baptizo, then many times, then it would make no sense. No, the main idea, that is not to dip and to come out of the water, but the main idea, that is to cleanse and to wash. In the early inscriptions, and then they often showed water. When a person was standing in the water, then water was poured on a person in order that they may baptize them. And the practice of sprinkling was commonly used in the Bible to signify cleansing, washing, the blood of the sacrifices. What was done with that blood,
that blood was sprinkled on the people. When the Lord it would come down from Sinai, and when that lamb was slain, then we read that blood that was taken and that was sprinkled on the people, for what reason? That was to cleanse them. And that was a picture of the cleansing and the washing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can deny that also in what we have just read concerning in Peter in that house of Cornelius? What did he say? Can any man forbid water, and that these also may be baptized? Then it very evidently implies not a going down to the water, but a bringing in of that water. Thus, what do we say? Then we say that when we focus on the mode of baptism, and when we say baptism that only may be done in one way, that only may be done by immersion, then we take away something. Then we say that the meaning, the main meaning, is one thing when it actually is something else. And we take away from that meaning of holy baptism, which is the cleansing. It does not matter, children, when you will take a shower, when you will take a bath, what matters? The matter is you must be cleansed, you must be washed. And therefore, we will end also with this in this afternoon. Are we washed? Are we cleansed? Because also that sign that has been placed upon us, and that name of that triune God that is also upon us, it is a symbol of washing. It is a symbol of cleansing. And how do we go over this world as filthy, as polluted? Do we go over this world drinking in all the pollution and all the filth of this world, young people? And do we allow our children and young people to do this, parents? That we are not standing as a wall, as a fence to protect them? And that we are so slothful as Eli to allow our children, when they are still under our command, and that we are allowing them to go on in the ways of sin? Oh no, that filth, that pollution, that is what Satan desires that we shall be in, that we shall remain in it, not only for our life, but forever and forever. And he has no desire that we should be cleansed, and neither have we. Or do you, children? Have a desire that you may be cleansed. Or do you ever say with the psalmist, wash me, make me pure within, cleanse me, cleanse me from my sin? Is that now ever the burden of our heart, that there is such a contradiction between that sign that is lying upon our forehead and the truth of our life? Is there ever such a burden that we say it cannot remain this way, and that I must be converted, that I must be born again? Oh, the Lord, bind this serious matter upon our heart, that sign and that seal that is commanded by the Lord and that is received upon each and every one of us in obedience to that command may not leave us rest day nor night until the substance may be received. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us from above. Not only to put away the error, it is necessary, but Lord, the truth needs to be brought within. The matter needs to be made to us, to be important, to be necessary, to be essential, a matter of life and of death. Grant it in thy mercy, go with us further in this day. Forgive all that was sinful.
in the preaching and in the hearing this day. Be with us in the sister congregation in this evening. And wilt thou look on each one of us, wherever we may be, also in our own homes. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy, and that we may desire to read thy word and that which is based thereon for our soul's instruction. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 172, 1 through 4. Praise waits in Zion, Lord, for thee. There we will pay our vow. O thou, the God that hearest prayer, before thee all shall bow. 1 through 4 of Psalter 172. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.